This is a day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Indeed. You probably don't remember. My name is Jeff. I used to work here. Glad to be back. I've been on a probation or something for a couple weeks. I don't know. I am glad to be back this morning and glad that you are here. And it's wonderful to welcome each other in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A few announcements I want to draw our attention to is it's entering kind of a busy season for us for certain. But Chuck, will you start us tonight? Because Night in New York is tonight, please.
Yes. Good. Not on.
It's not on.
Never mind. I'll just shout at you. Is it on now? Yes. Okay. I want you to know I do remember Jeff. A couple things I want to tell you about. One is we have three new handbell players. A couple that kind of were handbell players at the very end of last year, and we have thrown them to the wolves as we are doing a difficult piece. So if you occasionally hear them count to four, they're not counting the measure, they're just counting their fingers, so just ignore that. I'm excited about what they're doing. But tonight, we have the Night in New York. Now, how many of y'all are coming? Oh, that's pretty good. You know what Pam told me? Told me this was the most she's ever had that has signed up. Now, I don't know if there's any additional.
Well, I think we could half a piece of cake if we need to. We could cut half pieces if we have to. So y'all come on.
All right, and I'll tell you what. Who wants to come? Who wants to come? Because I'm ready to give away my piece of dessert. And I know my wife will too. So that's two. Who wants to come that hasn't signed up? All right, now come on. I was trying to be an auctioneer. Okay. Tommy, why aren't you singing with us? You know this piece. So anyway, prepare to have an absolutely wonderful time. It's going to be a wonderful program. It really is.
What time?
And it is at 6:30. 6:30. And I think we have chairs, so if you didn't come, sign up. You can always come and watch. And just won't have any dessert. I want to thank Conrad Kimbrough, who is probably going to do the program sound all by himself because of, you know about stuff, and I'm sure you'll talk about that. Right, do you know? Do you want me to say about
a few information that we should share?
Stump called me this morning on my way to church, and his grandson, Sam Hall, is in intensive care over at Moses Cone Gracious. Hospital. He's diabetic, and his pump ceased functioning, and he went into a coma. And this is serious business, and I can't believe that Stump called me to tell me that he probably may not be able to be here tonight, but that he had twisted Conrad's arm. So he must have called him first. But anyway.
So I see it's on here. So that's Sam Hall, right? That's his. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. So a couple other things just to draw your attention. We are now getting ready to have our third week of our community communion service that is on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Just come as you are. It's a 45-minute service. It's ecumenical. We have folks from lots of different denominations joining us in the chapel. A little bit of music, a little bit of liturgy. It's been kind of neat. So if you come before choir, come check in and get home for dinner. But that's at 6 o'clock every Wednesday. And I also want to remind us, or it's a little bit of a change of plan. Every year, the church, Methodist churches, all have a business meeting, as I wrote in the newsletter here. Today, we're going to meet, if you would like to be willing to be part of it, here in the sanctuary about 15 minutes after the service, as soon as people who have to leave are out. We'll be right in here for just a brief time. We'll look at the leadership, affirm those nominations, set the pastor's compensation on a recommendation of SPRC, have just a little bit of talk about what charge conference is, but it'll be here in the sanctuary, not downstairs. We'll try to get started about 12:15 is things as close to that as we can, because I know everybody's got a busy day today. So if you're willing to stay, come back, whatever the case would be, we would appreciate that. Be brief. And as we're kind of gathering up in the sanctuary, if you're having conversations, not planning on staying, sort of move out so we can have this short meeting. But we need to do this before charge conference next week. And I'm grateful for your participation in that. So Night in New York, charge conference, Wednesday nights. I'll mention prayer concerns, but Methodists and floods, they sort of go together, apparently. We have a wonderful disaster response team because we're a place where hurricanes happen, floods happen. For the next now and probably the next 5 years, we will be actively involved in helping people recover from the flood, from the damage. We just wrapped up, I think, last year, my friend Tom Gates, who was one of the builders and helpers of that, just wrapped up from Floyd. So, I mean, we've been doing work that long, restoring people's homes. We will continue that. In your bulletin are ways to give money, opportunities to participate. Maybe we'll do some mission teams, but give resources, put together. We just did the health kits from the community school. We could do flood buckets. Participate in some way, and there's directions about that, either write checks to the church, go online. It'll be ongoing, but I know we want to make a movement and to help, and we do that through the Methodist Church, and it's an amazing way to help, and we'll be paying attention to many, many more opportunities as we move forward. All right, a lot of things. Grateful that you're here this morning. Let us just set our hearts and minds to, much like we received rain last week, let's receive God's love and grace pouring into our hearts this morning as he's mysteriously and wonderfully called us together to worship. Leandre? Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Power and might and majesty belong to God who created and is creating.
Thanks be to God
for God's mighty wonders. Like the image of the powerful wind and heavens as a garment, God's majesty is revealed in all creation.
Look around us at the wonderful marvel and the infinite variety and beauty which God has created.
Who are we that God should pay attention to us?
We are God's beloved children, the stewards who God has selected to care for the world.
Amen. Please remain standing and turn to 384 in your hymnal, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. If you will, please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, everywhere we look, we see the imprint of your creative love. The wondrous works of nature show your majesty. As we gather today to celebrate your love and creation, keep us mindful that we are part of that created order, stewards and not destroyers. Prepare us to work for you in ministries of peace and justice. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture today is taken from Psalms 119, verses 97 through 104. Hear God's word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for their testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. invite the children to come join me down front? Good morning. So happy to see all of you this morning. This morning I brought something. It's a bell. And sometimes you might call it a school bell. We use this sometimes in preschool when it's time to clean up, don't we? We'll ring the bell when it's time to clean up our toys. Well, I brought the bell this morning because I want to show you something. So I want to tell you a little story. So back in the day, if you would go to a hotel, and this has been a long time ago, I don't think they have these now, on the front desk there would be a bell. So when you would go into the hotel, you would ring the bell. And then the hotel clerk is supposed to come and say, "May I help you?" That was his job, to help others. Well, one day, there was this hotel. This man went to this hotel, and he rang the bell. And he stood there, and nobody came. So he rang it again. And he was getting, and nobody, he's the store, the hotel clerk still didn't come. Well, finally, somebody else came up. First thing he did was ring the bell because they wanted to check into the hotel and didn't come. So finally, they was just like ringing the bell. Like, "Can I get some help around here? I need some help." And finally, the clerk from the back comes storming out of the back room. And he goes, "Okay already. If you will just stop ringing the bell, I'll help you." You know what he was doing? He was back there watching his favorite TV show. Have you ever done that before? If mommy and dad maybe call you for dinner, but you're in the middle of something and you're not quite ready to give that up. Meredith, have you ever done that before? Sometimes we do. I'm
I was in a hotel before.
You were in a hotel before on vacation? Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of times we stay at hotels. Well, you see, God is never too busy for us. He is never too busy, and he's never too tired, and he doesn't ever, ever want us to give up. But because God loves us and takes care of us, do you know what we can do? We can take care of other people. God teaches us to love others the same way that he loves us, right? So we have lots of opportunities in our lives to help others. What are some things you can do to help other people? Yes, Xavier? Mm-hmm. You can talk about stuff and you can help. Mm-hmm. Those are fun. Yeah. Yeah. Lily? Be their friend. Oh, there's tons of ways that we can help others. We can be their friend. We can do lots and lots of things, make cards, just whatever, to help other people. And that's what God calls us to do. And if we only put our trust in God, he will show us the way and he will help us to love others and also to love our neighbors as ourselves. We just have to trust in him. So let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for these wonderful children who have come to learn about you. Lord, help us to love our neighbors as ourselves and also to love one another. We just have to help us to continue to put our trust in you and know that we can talk to you day and night and you never, ever, ever get annoyed with us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. You're all invited if you'd like to go down to Children's Church with the Evans family.
So do we believe that God is never too busy to hear our prayers? I think one of the things we do when we're gathered is we pray because it reminds us that it's when we are not sure about that, when it seems that we look at our circumstances maybe to determine whether God loves us or not versus our relationships that we build, we need to be with each other and to pray together and to be mindful. This is not only what we do, but this is who God is with us and that God is with us, and we witness to those things. So in our bulletins, we have persons that we're lifting up in prayer. We know God is at work in their lives, healing, accompanying them. Our fear is not for them. Our prayers are that we would see God's work in their lives and that we would be faithful to ministering to them and with them and give thanks that God is at work in those healing places and that we may witness that and there may be joy and love, comfort and strength, and that we may be inspired as well. So those are in our bulletin. I would add, as Chuck helped us this morning, to be mindful of Sam Hall. Of course, the hurricane victims, not only in our communities and down east, including the so overwhelming loss of life here, but in Haiti, where thousands of families grieve as well. It is overwhelming, but we have a God who is bigger than all of these things that are in our way. We'll lift up the family of Bill Fox and also lift up Judy Long as well. I know there are others in your hearts and minds, and as we prepare our hearts for prayer and open ourselves to Christ at the door of our hearts, we may find those names surfaced, and I pray that we would find joy and certainty in God's response. Gracious, loving, and wonderful Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, that we would indeed embrace that we are near to your heart, that your will isn't something that is far off and distant, but your will dwells within us and is part of who we are, and that in this time of prayer, we open ourselves to that, and we acknowledge the ways we've strayed, and we give thanks for the forgiveness that you bestow. Perhaps we account for moments of guilt or uncertainty. We also are lifted up by thoughts of joy and love of our brothers and sisters. In the uncertainties that we dare to state in public with each other, we affirm your love and grace and your call upon us not only to witness your work, but to be part of it. As our community recovers from the devastation of floods, as our world seeks to recover from the devastation of our anger toward one another, and even as our hearts recover from what we so desperately try to claim as our own life apart from you. We're grateful for your forgiveness. We're grateful that you've put us in a place with other brothers and sisters who know and are witness to that love. And we ask this day and for the week forward, we may be empathetic with one another. We may find your love to be the source of our relationships with you and with others. And that always and everywhere, in everything that is named, we know your hope in your Son, Jesus Christ, in your presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and in the work that you do through us and with one another. And the beautiful prayer that you teach us to pray that shapes us and compels us and empowers us to live this way in your kingdom as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue to give thanks and praise as we share tithes and offerings. As the ushers would come forward.
Testament of how faithful you are to your church. Let them be used for your glory, for not only this church, for the community and the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Scripture.
If you can turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, I'll be reading the New Testament scripture. That's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And Luke, the gospel according to Luke, is what he tries to work as a historian, give a historical account of Jesus' ministry and ordeal with the cross and the resurrection. Although we could consider all the gospels, historical texts, what makes Luke's gospel more relevant as it relates to history. He really tries to be a historian. Leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus gives the disciples a parable, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And it says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And the will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Circumstances. Last week, I was able to get back here for Sunday. I was supposed to be leading be part of a leadership team on an Emmaus walk, a spiritual Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wrapping up Sunday night. And as the rains came, we were near Smithfield, and by Saturday, the rooms were in the lower level of this retreat center were literally filling up with water. I've helped clean up after floods and lived where floods happened, but never really saw that firsthand how quickly and absolutely unstoppable the flood is. There was no door to put a towel under. There was no, you couldn't even tell where it was coming in. It was just filling up from the ground and over, right? Really unsettling. And it dawns on me that in those situations, you don't need a lot of convincing to pray, God, help us in the midst of this. There's not a lot of, well, you know, I got other stuff to do. I don't really need any help. I've got this. And we know that. So when we come to a parable like today where Jesus, hey, I want to remind you to pray always and don't lose heart. I kind of, well, we get that. We know when things are really tough, we need to pray. And so we sort of glance over it, especially when he attaches a parable that's a little bit, well, it's tricky because it's easy to understand. At the same time, it's a little, something catches your ear that it's a little different than that, but you just kind of, well, it's Jesus' parable. It's got to all make sense and just sort of move on, especially when, and I think rightfully, we could grasp from this at least one lesson that as this, and to set the story up, Jesus is talking about prayer, and he begins by talking about a city where there is an unjust judge. Mark, you are a just judge, all right? No. So unjust judge in this context, I want to make a kind of a, yeah, there you go. Woo. And speaking to that, I got to come before, no, I'm just kidding. So in Israel, this idea of judge, the judge is there to not only dole out punishments, that sort of thing, but to set things right, to solve disputes between one another, not unlike our system of courts and attorneys and all of that sort of thing, where we're trying to get an amicable solution to situations. The judges in Israel are called to be persons who live and judge in a way that God would judge, and therefore should be persons who are favorable with the idea of loving God and kindness to one another. It's kind of a Torah thing. This judge, Jesus says, is unjust. He not only does not have a fear of the Lord, in other words, he doesn't have a sense of awe and respect. The Lord is sort of a non-entity for him. And it says he also does not respect humans. Well, we know Jesus' two commandments, the greatest commandments together, what? To love the Lord your God with all your might, soul, spirit, body, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. These fail on both counts, right? The judge not only does not love the Lord, but he doesn't love other people. And this is the judge who, for whatever reasons, is sitting in judgment in this city. And there is another character, a widow. In Luke's gospel, there are some very significant widows. We know that they represent persons who are often lowest on the totem pole, have the least resources, who are sort of on the edges of society. They are vulnerable. They need God. They need community's compassion and care. And in fact, the scriptures are full of commandments to take care of widows and orphans. In fact, this judge, if he were a just judge and followed and respected the law, he would think about Exodus or Deuteronomy, where it specifically says, take care of the widows and the orphans and to judge rightly, right? But this judge doesn't do any of that, and the widow has a problem. She has an opponent, probably a wealthy person. This is probably a financial issue, and this person won't help to do what is right and just, and so she knocks on the judge's door, metaphorically at least, comes to see him over and over, and the judge does not want to rule in a just way, does not want to rule in her favor. But this widow continues to come and to knock on his door. And finally, as it happens in Luke, like in the prodigal son and other places, the judge thinks to himself, the rich man thinks to himself, the man thinks to himself, comes to his senses, the manager thinks to himself, has a moment and decides, you know what? I'm just going to give her what she wants so she stops bugging me. But it's not just bugging me. The NRSV makes it kind of nice. Really, the language would say more like, she's going to keep attacking me and give me a black eye. Really, it says to turn black or blue. We've created to bother me, but really the word would translate make black or blue, like getting socked in the eye. So in other words, a judge, because this woman is going to give him maybe a physical black eye, but certainly a black eye in the community, I'm just going to give her what she wants. And then Jesus says in this strange story, listen to what the unjust judge says. He said, I have no other motivation other than just my own interests. I'm going to do what's right. So we could intuit that in one level, if this is about prayer, gosh, that widow coming and petitioning and praying over and over got what she wanted, got what she had. So are we to pray and just bug the bejesus out of Jesus? Right? So finally, this God will relent and give us what we want. Is that the answer to things? Yeah. Yes and no. Jesus goes on to say, but listen to what the unjust judge says, and then think about what you know about God. God is loving and merciful and quick to answer your prayers, the prayers of his chosen people, whether they come day or night. He doesn't wait and put things off. So maybe there's something about we can trust that God will come quickly and move, and we know through the scriptures God moves to help those in need. And it's a reminder that to take heart that that is how God operates, not like this judge. If we stop there, we run into a little problem that we just sort of look the other way and maybe sweep under the rug. The problem is if this is what Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago, and God is so quick to act and take care of all of the people in need, how come we live in a world where it looks like not one person has gotten anything fixed? Why we still have persons in need, why we still have people in distress, why we still oppress, why we still have poor, why we're sick, why we separate and attack one another? Is this because God hasn't chosen to answer? Is it really a God? You see the problem we run into. And in one sense, the church, we sort of take a deep breath and say, well, don't worry about it, because there'll be a day coming in the great by and by when all of that is set straight. And then we go home and have lunch. But I'm going to ask you to hear something a little more subtle in this, but I think helpful. We should turn the story upside down. Instead of thinking about God is like the judge or unlike the unjust judge, I want you to hear that God is like the widow. God is the widow who knocks on our door continually. The widow who is understanding and living in the midst of injustice, in the midst of oppression, in the midst of need, and will come to us, those who should know better, like the unjust judge, and knock on our door. And continue to pursue and say, wait a minute, we need justice, we need help. This is part of how we live together, knocking on our door. Why? Well, because God loves us. All right, stick with me. The good news and why we can take heart in persistent prayer is that, yes, God is quick to move and with us and for us. But we are also being shaped to be the persons who do the work that God has called us to do. We're shaped to be persons of the same heart as God. We're called to become like the children of God we were made. We need to be redeemed from our sin of not being who we're called to be. We're not wired to be the unjust judge who is not God-fearing and who doesn't love others. That's who we've chosen to be. That's who we've fallen to becoming. That's how we live most of our life. And if God left us there, not fearing God, not loving other persons, we would never know the grace and the peace and life of Christ. We would never know God's mercy and justice. We wouldn't become and shaped in our souls who we're called to be. And God will not rest from shaping us that way. Amen. This is good news. You see, continually, God will come to us like the widow and say, pay attention, listen, look. And if you're someone who can help someone else, you need to hear that there's someone else who needs help. Not because God can't zap some miracle help to them, but because you are the help to them. And your life becoming, my life becoming such that we love one another in a way that we're called and passionate to help others is God's goal. It is our salvation. It's the work that Jesus is doing through us. But we need a God who will not let us rest in comfort, will not let us ignore what's happening. And you know we are these people because we have networks dedicated to helping us remember which superstar is arguing with another superstar. How will, Brad and Jolie ever make up? We have gossip channels and documents and news 24/7 to tell us about insignificant things in the world. And doggone it, once in a while, they keep interrupting us with this stupid story that there are 11 million Syrian refugees who are knocking on the door of Jesus Christ at the church and saying, help us. Bring us justice. We are the widow. Help us. And it's so annoying. Because we'd rather listen to the sports scores and find out what our teams are doing than to figure out what can I do to help 11 million humans in need. Or we'll wring our hands so furiously, whatever will we do to protect male perpetrators of sexual violence through their words and deeds from those wily seductresses who want to trap them? All the while, somewhere between 14,000 and 17,000 women and children are human trafficked in the United States each year. The widow will knock on our door. We must have justice. And even, as I mentioned earlier, in the devastation our own state, and it is, I get it. I mean, we want to help, and this compassion that we have and the need to help each other is beautiful. But as I said, there are 1,000 families in Haiti whose boxes have been destroyed and have lost lives as well. How can we deal with all of that? God, it is too much on our doorstep. And God says, I know. I know. But listen to what the unjust judge said. Just to stop it, I'll do what I need to do. And the judge will be shaped and our community will be shaped. What we're asked and what we desperately need to know is it's not about doing the right thing. It's about becoming the children of God. Our souls need the shaping. Our souls and our egos will run amok with our lives if they go unchecked. We will seek after our own stuff in a vacuum like nobody's business. And you know this. And I know this. And God knows this. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we wouldn't be trapped in that cycle. That we wouldn't find ourselves, well, you know, I can't help them because I got to take care of my stuff. Or why did they get in that mess before? How could they have done that? Who are they? Who's good? Who's bad? That is all ego speaking. And it is our destruction if it were not for God's love and his son, Jesus Christ. And the ongoing, unrelentless knocking at our door. You know, Frank, help me, Buechner. Why did I say it? Jana? Buechner. Why can I not say Buechner? It's just spelled wrong. Frank Buechner said, it's not that we need to beat a path to God's door to knock the door open so God will answer. It's that maybe we need to knock or clear a path so that God can get to our door, the door of our soul, the door of our hearts. We need to make a way that God, because the scripture says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just let me in. If you'll just let me in, like the widow knocking, I will, this justice, love, grace, compassion, your soul needs this shaping, and if I let this slide from you, if I don't let you know what's happening, if it's not on your doorstep each day, you will fall into a place where you remain someone who does not fear the Lord and someone who has no respect for other people, and your soul is lost to your own self. And Jesus said, oh, we've got to fix that. And so I want you to think about for a moment, imagine where this is headed. Two images. One, I want to think about the goal. There's a poem called Kindness. Naomi Nye wrote this, and in the line it says, you can't really know what kindness is until you've lost something, until you feel the future lost in a moment like salt in a week's broth. She goes on to say that to become kindness, we have to understand what we held and what we counted and what we saved, that all has to go so that we can see and feel and experience the desolation and the distance that lies between regions of kindness in this world. She said, you have to see the Indian in the white poncho lying dead by the side of the road and recognize that he too was just like you. He was journeying through the night and had plans and had the simple breath of being alive. Because when we embrace that is us as well, then kindness will lift up its head, and kindness, only kindness will make any sense to us. And it will lift up its head out of the crowd, and it will say, it is I that you have been looking for. And it says kindness will go with us everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. You see, the becoming, the kindness, where it only makes sense to be the person who receives the widow and does the just thing, not because it's inconvenient, because it is all who we are. So Jesus on the cross, will you imagine this with me? As you look at Jesus and you recognize that he is everything that we fear. He is naked. He is vulnerable. He is a failure. And he is a victim. And he refuses to press his pain on us. He's crucified so that we will stop crucifying. And he says to us, I am you. I am sin. That is the goodness that is in each of us and the evil that we do to each of us. It's the destruction that we bring about. It's that we don't see ourselves as loved and good. And my crucifixion is how we treat each other and ourselves. And we say, I am afraid of that. I'm afraid of a love that doesn't ask anything back. I'm afraid of letting go because I know that you, Jesus, are me. And that I know things are not right. And I know that looking at you, this is my course, if it were not for your love and for your assistance to make me different. Will I receive you? Will I see others as you see us? Will I cease to crucify myself and everyone else? Not because I can't be bothered, but because you have become me. There's a door. not one that we have to beat down to get to God, to get God's attention. There's a door of our hearts. And my prayer, my question is, as the widow knocks with every injustice that's before us, and we would rather our radiothon for Duke Children's Hospital get back to regular programming than ask me for another daggone dollar, maybe today I would open that door and allow Jesus to shape me and restore me into the one who loves God, who loves our neighbor, and knows without a question, we are free in that love. That is the love of a God who will not stop ever in any of our lives, no matter how painful it is, to bring us to that place. Mary said it when Jesus was in her womb. He's come to liberate us, to set his people free. Thanks be to God that that God never stops. Amen. Amen. The closing hymn, Seek Ye First. Man, if this isn't just right up exactly where we come from in this. Seeking first is to seek to receive this love and to become who God has made us to be and to drive from us the evil we do to each other and to ourselves. Christ has made that possible on the cross. Let us sing praises and seek our hearts in this direction. Our closing hymn. Question, the promise, knock and the door shall be opened to you. The question and the challenge is to go from this place, answering the question, when Jesus knocks, will you open the door? And as Jesus said, will there be one faithful among us? There is. It is the body of Christ. Go in that peace.